The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
This coming Wednesday is Liberation Day. At least that's what Donald Trump is calling it. It's the day when he rolls out, and when the administration in the US rolls out, a whole new set of tariffs targeting things like the auto industry in Canada, and targeting, we are led to believe, the pharmaceutical and medtech industry, particularly in Ireland, because the American administration feels that a huge amount of revenues and jobs that should be in America are actually located here. With me is Dr. Emma Howard, who's an economics lecturer at TU Dublin, John Fitzgerald, adjunct professor in economics at Trinity College, and Gareth Sheridan, CEO of Nutriband. John, let me start with you. Do we have much in the way of insight as to what these tariffs are likely to target and the impact they will have?
No, we don't. But he's talked about Arendon Pharmaceuticals. He's talked about a whole load of things. Until we see what he announces on this next week, we don't know.
How specific and targeted can they be? And can they focus on industries in individual countries, or is it a pan-European thing?
It's likely to be pan-European. And I think that is Ireland's strength. We're part of the EU. And also in terms of pharmaceutical imports into the United States, Switzerland actually sells more into the US than Ireland. Germany would be close enough, as is Belgium. So it's not just Ireland. It is for us a really important part of our relationship with the US. But with the US imports about $150 billion worth of pharmaceuticals, we contribute about $25 billion of that. But they also export pharmaceuticals, in that about 40 billion of pharmaceuticals coming into Europe comes from the US. So this is a complicated business. And if, for example, US imposes tariffs on pharmaceuticals from the EU, if the EU imposes tariffs on pharmaceuticals coming from the US, the ultimate outcome might be that pharmaceuticals for the US will be made in the US, but pharmaceuticals for the rest of the world will be made in Ireland or Switzerland or Germany. So how this plays out, it's a long way to go.
How quickly can that happen? Because I assume an industry as large and as regulated as pharma and medtech can't pivot at great speed, or can it?
No, all right, if they have spare capacity in a plant, and if it's a pharmaceutical that they're already producing in the US, then they can switch fast. But if they have to build a new plant, well, you're talking 2 or 3 years, and you also have to get FDA, Federal Drugs Administration, approval. And Musk has just fired a load of people in the FDA, so that's going to take longer than ever. So moving production from Ireland or Switzerland to the United States will take time. The other thing is that bits of the pharmaceuticals are made all over the place. So that, for example, when the US was ramping up its vaccine for COVID and saying we'll only sell in the US, actually quite a lot of the ingredients were coming from Ireland. And similarly, the pharmaceuticals made in Ireland, there's a recent central bank paper, which is interesting. A lot of the inputs for pharmaceuticals in Ireland have in turn come from the US. So it's a messy business. If you impose tariffs, you'll be imposing tariffs on goods that were made in the US and that are incorporated into pharmaceuticals in Ireland and so on. So we'll see what happens. It's bad news for everybody. It's bad news for the US. It's bad news for Ireland. It's bad news for the EU. But this will take time. The full costs will take time to play out. And even if the US, pharmaceuticals for the US are produced in the US, if the pharmaceuticals for the rest of the world are produced in Ireland, well, then there mightn't be a huge impact in the very long run.
Interesting. Texas says the consequences of the threat of tariffs is already visible in the haulage industry. Exports in the last 2 to 3 weeks by container has plummeted. We run 15 trucks from Dublin Port, and it's like someone just flicked a switch off in the last few weeks. It will be months before someone produces a report on import exports, but I can see it already from being involved in the industry. New truck and trailer sales have also stopped last month, with every garage and salesman calling to see if we want to buy anything. This all has a knock-on effect, and I think it'll be too late by the time we react. Emma Howard, what about that? That whatever about the impact of the tariffs themselves, the expectation and the uncertainty must already be having a significant impact.
Yeah, the uncertainty is really damaging for producers who really don't know what types of costs they're going to be facing for inputs or what kind of sales they're going to have for their export market. But also, you know, we've seen the impact on the US economy. As John outlined, you know, these tariffs are bad news for everybody. They're going to harm global economic growth, but they're going to harm US economic growth. And we've seen the markets reacting badly in the US. We've seen big falls in the share prices of, for example, US automotive industry firms who, you know, use a lot of imported. So I think 60% of the imports of automobile parts into the US are used in the manufacture of US cars. So we've seen the markets reacting, knowing that this is bad news for the US as well as for their trading partners.
Can you explain then, one thing in all of this? There seems to be consensus, and I mean, both yourself and John are examples of it, among all economists, that this is a bad move, counterproductive from a US perspective, has never been shown to be effective in improving the situation of a country. Is there something that we are all missing in the strategy here? Is there a countervailing view that says, well, actually, this is what they're trying to achieve?
Honestly, there's no economic strategy that makes any sense given what he's doing. What I think it's likely to be is part of his sort of global ideology, which is that Trump sort of sees the world in terms of trade as a zero-sum game. So he looks at a country like Ireland and sees that we're running a trade surplus in goods with the US, and you know, we have a big pharma sector here, and he sees that, you know, if Ireland are benefiting, that must mean that the US is losing, and that, you know, he wants to put these strategies or put these tariffs in place to try and bring back some of that US money and those US jobs to the US. So, you know, it's part of his sort of wider ideology, which, you know, stems much broader than trade. And it's really appealing to his MAGA base, right? So US first, and his sort of misinformation, because we saw this during his election campaign. You know, he talked about tariffs being his favorite word. He described tariffs as a tax on the foreigner. And really, we know from any amount of empirical evidence from tariffs being applied on goods historically, that when tariffs are applied, it is really the US consumer who is going to pay in terms of higher inflation, higher input costs. We know that the US economy will suffer as a result, and that job growth will be damaged by tariffs on goods being imported into the US.
Well,
He's already kind of acknowledging that, in that, you know, he's changed a little bit in the last couple of weeks, because now he's starting to talk about a period of transition. So he's sort of saying, you know, OK, well, there is going to be a negative impact, but his story is still that, you know, that in the long run, this is going to be beneficial for the US. And there's really no evidence of that, particularly if it sparks a trade war and we see reciprocal tariffs being applied.
I want to come to the reciprocal tariffs in a couple of seconds. Before that, Gareth Sheridan is with us. He's CEO of Nutraband, which is a company squarely in the crosshairs of the kind of tariffs that may come in, because you do transdermal medtech. Your own experience in the industry from the threatened tariffs and your own concerns, Gareth, are what?
Look, I think we're all in agreement that, you know, if these tariffs go ahead, it's going to be significant for Irish jobs and the economy and the pharma industry as a whole. But tariffs on pharmaceuticals is extremely complicated, and I don't think it's being treated as such. I mean, this will impact global supply chains, and ultimately it's going to impact people's lives. And that needs to be more part of the narrative that we're hearing as well. I think it's a clear indication when discussing tariffs on pharmaceuticals that it's being done so by people that don't have experience in pharmaceuticals. And frankly, it's been done by people who have never had to worry about affording their medications or treatment. And I think that's quite concerning. At Nutriband, we've built a company based around improving access to medications for people dealing with chronic pain. It's a group that's been overlooked and underrepresented for over a decade now. And we've seen firsthand what the lack of adequate care can have on a segment of the pharmaceutical industry.
But now what'll happen? Let's say you discover that your product is increased in cost by 25% to the consumer. From a corporate perspective, what do you do? Do you look and say, can we shift manufacturing to the US? How do you handle that? Because you have to stay in business.
Well, that's the problem. And I think we've kind of briefly touched on it. It's not as simple as just packing up, finding a plant in Michigan, adding some equipment and start pumping out product. I mean, to give you an example, we looked at moving one town over in North Carolina for some of our production a number of years ago. And we didn't go ahead with it because the amount of red tape involved and the downtime that we would have faced would have been catastrophic for the company. Now we're talking about moving 3 miles in the same state, and tariffs are talking about moving countries. The amount of red tape that's going to be involved, registration processes, FDA approvals, manufacturing scale up, feasibility work. The likely scenario is that you would not be able to have this done within the time frame of the remainder of this presidency. And then what are you facing in terms of the narrative then? I mean, it's a very complicated...
But do you have a choice? Because the other option is that you end up priced out of your core market, I assume.
I think the thing that needs to be considered, and it's worrying that it's not being considered, is that tariffs are paid by the end customer, or in this case, tariffs are being paid by the patient or the prescription holder. Okay. We're already talking about a system in America that is strained, that has a bad reputation as it is. Insurance companies have pricing built in for things like Medicaid and social health care. Insurance companies are not going to take a 25% hike, and it likely will drop coverage entirely for many people. And we make products here in Ireland that are serious. We're talking about chemotherapies, we're talking about heart medications, we're talking about diabetes medications, pain medications and antibiotics. We're talking about products that can't afford a disruption in a global supply chain.
Well, it's interesting, a text bearing out what you're saying. The threat to the pharmaceutical industry is overstated. Not only will it take years for pharma to transfer production and skills to the US, there's still a market of over 7.5 billion people in the rest of the world. Another saying, the biggest impact in terms of tariffs is the IP of large US companies based in Ireland. The shift a few years ago into Ireland is the reason for the huge increase in CGT. This is an easy target for Trump to reverse this and to force the IP to return to the US. The result will be a massive drop in corporation tax for Ireland. Unfortunately, we would need to impose huge exit charges to discourage this. John Fitzgerald, what of that and the threat to IP?
If the US pushed through Congress a change in their tax laws to make them like German tax laws or Irish tax laws or British tax laws, then the IP, tax would be paid in the US. So that is an option open to them. So far, Trump has seemed unwilling to change any legislation. He wants to do it by executive order. But that is, we could lose an awful lot of revenue from that. And that would be targeted specifically at Ireland. So we remain to that. That's probably a bigger short term threat than anything in terms of tariffs.
And how significant could the impact be in terms of jobs and employment?
Well, the effect on jobs and employment is likely to take it comes from the tariffs. If the government loses 10 billion overnight in revenue, or 15 billion, it'll push it into deficit, and they'll have to raise taxes. That is where you'd have very real consequences. So I'd be watching out for what happens on corporation tax and the intellectual property next week.
So Emma Howard, then explain how this then progresses, because I assume we get the we get an insight into what is being tariffed on Wednesday the 2nd. The EU then matches it with reciprocal tariffs, which seems to be the consensus view. The US has said that they will increase their tariffs based on that, and we end up in this sort of this mutually assured destruction spiral. Is that what happens?
It's very hard to predict, as John already said. You know, it's really complex. We don't know what we're we're going to get from Trump next Wednesday. I know EU officials have been talking with American officials, and they've come back and said their expectation is approximately a 20% unilateral tariff across imports into the US. But we've also heard Trump singling out pharma and the automobile industry. And, you know, we don't know if those 25% tariffs are additional, or is it just those tariffs will be higher? It's really difficult to know. Any reaction from the EU to reciprocate with a similar level tariff is actually going to increase the harm. And we had a nice report that came out from the ESRI and the Department of Finance that looked at the various levels of impact depending on the level of tariffs, whether or not the EU reciprocated with an equal tariff, and whether those tariffs were permanent or temporary. And in a worst case scenario, where they were looking at a 25% tariff on all exports to the US, that the EU then levied a 25% on imports into the EU, they were looking at a reduction of 3.7% in GDP over 7 years, and a 3% reduction in employment, plus big inflationary impacts. So the trade war and that response by the EU is just compounding a bad situation. Having said that, of course, if the EU doesn't react, there's going to be no sort of way to negotiate, or they'll have no cards to play in terms of Trump. So the hope would be that there can be some political agreement here. And, you know, we have seen Trump levied the tariffs on Canada and on Mexico. He initially put them on a 25%, and then he paused them, and then he did reduce the number of goods they applied to. So anything that was covered under the North America agreement, which was around half of the imports into the US, he exempted. So we have seen that he's really unpredictable. And even if we have really bad news next week and next Wednesday, that's not necessarily the bottom line. We could see push, you know, we could see him changing his mind and removing some of them. So it's really uncertain.
Gareth Sheridan, we spoke earlier on about the impact on your business itself. What about the sector? What are you seeing from peer companies? What level of concern and fear is there in pharma and medtech?
I mean, there's an overall nervousness about it because, as I said, the disruption would be, you know, on a catastrophic level in terms of the global supply chain, and the amount of time and effort it would take to actually relocate again would be longer than the remaining term. So, look, there's a reason tariffs have been immune more or less to or pharmaceuticals have been immune more or less to tariffs for over about 30 years now. And that's because it's very disruptive. And at the end of the day, we're talking about people's lives. When you talk about tariffs on cars, for example, you can buy a Chevrolet instead of a BMW. You can't buy a different chemotherapy treatment. So essentially what it's coming down to here is that the patient at the end of the day are going to be the ones that suffer. And that needs to be more part of the narrative and the discussion points, because all I hear is statistics. And in my opinion, people aren't statistic. And we should put a reality on that this will essentially cost lives if it goes through.
Well, it's interesting. One of the other things where you talk about it, the statistics converting into the actual loss of life, one of the stories hitting the news today is the impact of the closure of US aid and what it has meant around the world. Gole saying that they are losing 30% of their staff. John Fitzgerald, the reduction in their capacity to deliver, it is literally, according to Gole, costing lives, isn't it?
Oh, yes, because the bulk of the money that would have gone through Gole or Concern or other NGOs is health-related. So vaccination, AIDS treatment, all of these things are just ending because of the ending of US aid. But we tend to look at US policy relative to the rest of the world, i.e. tariffs. But what's happening in the US is really serious in terms of healthcare long term. Like, the US has led on terms of research and healthcare, pharmaceuticals and so on. The National Institute of Health, which is a federal agency, supports research by 300,000 scientists across 2,500 universities in the US. Their center in Bethesda in Maryland employs 6,000 scientists. They were told they weren't going to be able to publish in academic journals in February. They can't have money to take blood samples from hospitals to laboratories. So what you're going to see is an ending or a massive slowdown in research, which has led the world in terms of health in the US, which will have long-term implications. The possible response to that is like 350 French scientists published a plea for the EU to actually buy all these US scientists who are now on the transfer list. You could buy whole teams of people from the US. I think long-term, Europe should be looking at saying, come to Europe. You can say what there's freedom of speech. You won't be deported if you support Gaza or whatever. And we will fund the research. And there is a future here. And there's a long-term opportunity for Europe to take over in the lead in this area. If nobody moves, and if the US, as they're wiping out research in US universities in this area, there's going to be a big slowdown in the next decade in progress in the health and pharmaceutical area.
John, thank you very much. That's John Fitzgerald, Adjunct Professor in Economics in Trinity College. Thank you also to Dr. Emma Howard, Economics Lecturer at TU Dublin, and Gareth Sheridan, CEO of Nutriband.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.